It is time now for Talking Books with Susan Brown, and we are joined here in the studio by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library, as well as six other town departments. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Awesome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing good. It is Wednesday and should be Friday, and I think everyone's agreed on that, right?
Agree.
Like, it's cloudy, it's cold, it's a little bit rainy, and I'm okay with the week being over at this point. I don't know about y'all.
And I just want, like, some weather that stays the same for like 2 days in a row.
That would be nice.
This is crazy. Well, really chilly out there right now.
In fairness, it is going to be cloudy and rainy for like the next 4 days.
Well,
your wish is granted.
Thank you, oh God of weather, Aaron Keck.
It's like a monkey's paw kind of
That's
wish.
Right.
You should specify
That's
it next
right.
time.
And it was a weird day for me because I run 16 departments in the town, which
right,
I do not.
Right. All I said was six.
Six. Okay, sorry.
That's not that many, really.
I run two. it's a really weird day because, like, usually I just have meetings,
right.
meetings. And today I get to work and I open up my calendar. I was like, all I've got to do is the radio with Aaron Keck today.
That's good.
This is my only meeting. So I know, right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But tomorrow.
Tomorrow you got a cool thing.
Yeah. So tomorrow, right about this time, we will be getting all set up downtown for an event to honor the Chapel Hill Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So you had Danita and Molly on earlier this week.
On Monday, yep.
This is a continuation of the good work started and completed by the Mayor's Task Force on Civil Rights Commemorations. So a group got together and started thinking about, they were appointed by the mayor and started thinking about how can we tell the stories of the people, places, and events that were important to the struggle for civil rights right here in Chapel Hill. And what really started the local movement was nine young men. And when I say young men, these were high school students.
Mm-hmm.
They were inspired by the Greensboro sit-ins, but in 1960, 59 years ago tomorrow, they walked into the Colonial Drugstore, which is now where the West End Wine Bar is, and they sat down at the counter and asked for the same service that everybody else got.
Yep.
They were, of course, thrown in jail for that. But they really did spark the civil rights movement here in Chapel Hill. So, oh gosh, we've done everything. We've got a timeline that we did with them. We had an event to honor them at the library. We have we have a short film. We have trading cards about it.
The trading cards are awesome.
Aren't
I got
they cool?
to see them on Monday. Yeah.
I'm really proud of those.
Yeah.
However, the thing that's tomorrow night, and this is a really, I think this is so interesting, just thinking about the moment that we're in history and everything, but last year the town council approved the installation of a permanent historic marker out in front of the West End Wine Bar, honoring, commemorating, and celebrating these nine brave young men. So tomorrow, we are going to dedicate the site.
Awesome.
So we'll gather tomorrow in front of the West End Wine Bar at 5 o'clock. And the idea is that 1 year from tomorrow, we will install and dedicate the permanent marker. So tomorrow is the site dedication. I believe all four living members of the Chapel Hill Nine will be there.
Awesome.
We'll have some remarks from the mayor and the manager and some other folks. We will dedicate the site. And here's the really cool part. After this, starting at, I believe, 6 o'clock, there is a program at First Baptist Church, which Danita Mason Hogan and others have organized. But what we're going to do when the program ends at the site dedication, we're going to form ourselves into a march and progress up Franklin Street and around the corner. And I believe we'll be singing freedom songs
nice.
As we go up to the First Baptist Church, where there will be a little pre-program, and then the big program kicks off at 6 o'clock.
I love that.
Isn't it pretty
cool?
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's such a fascinating story. And I remember reading Tim Tyson's book, Blood Don't Sign My Name. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he talks about in terms of, I think it was Tim Tyson, somewhere I read that, I think it was him, talks about in terms of social movements and where they begin. Oftentimes, the movements begin in the places you least expect. And the reason for that is they begin in places where the people who are in the movement are the most familiar with, the most comfortable with. So they don't necessarily start in the place where you get the most egregious discrimination. They start in the places where like these high school kids went every day and got served, but they got served in an unequal and very obviously blatantly unfair way.
Yeah, they all knew the owner.
That's where it began. Yeah, they all knew the owner.
Big Jim, I think.
Big John.
Big John, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's really, really interesting.
It's a really interesting part of that story, that's where the movement began, and then it just kind of spread out from there.
And the fact that they were high school students.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
the Greensboro sit-in was college students,
correct.
Right? And yeah, these were high school students. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the event on Thursday night at First Baptist, the event after this, what I believe, and it just sounds like it's a fabulous thing, there's going to be some more honoring of the Chapel Hill Nine. But since this work, and we've been working on sort of uncovering and retelling and telling these stories, mm-hmm. My understanding is that some of the women that were
yes.
side by side, if not at the lunch counters, they were also fighting this fight. They're going to start telling their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of members of the Lincoln High alumni group and others, but I believe the next story that we're going to tell together is the story of the women of the movement here in Chapel Hill, which
very
I'm
cool.
very excited
That's
about.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah. I love the push to tell the stories that haven't been told, or the stories
yes.
that might have been prominent at the time and then just got swept under the rug and forgotten about. Now we're remembering them.
And
again.
Molly does such a great job of thinking about all of this, and the phrase she uses that I have stolen and claim it as hers, but
yes.
I use it a lot, is this approach to history is from the inside out
mm-hmm.
and the bottom up.
Yes.
Right? So these yep. aren't the historians thinking about it and espousing about it. These are from the people who lived it. Their lived experience on the ground at this moment. So
yeah, that's really cool. So that's tomorrow, 5:00, West Franklin Street.
Yes.
Yep,
and
at West
the program at First Baptist at 6:00. And then looking ahead to next week, I did want to mention, this is really cool, and we're starting to get the PR about it. So coming up, who knew, March, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day and March Madness and you know, all of that. It's also National Quilt Day on March 16th. Who knew?
All right. I did not.
So March 16th every year is National Quilt Day, and this year is the 40th anniversary of the 40th birthday of the Durham Orange County Quilters Guild. So they came to us and said, we'd like to do a big quilt show. And we're like, oh, okay, I guess fine. Then we learned that, like, quilt shows are a thing,
yeah.
and like quilters come from all over the place. So we're doing two things with them. March 8th and 9th, we're doing a downtown pop-up art quilt show and sale. So we're going to use the vacant space where the Ackland gift store used to be,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to stand up a pop-up quilt show and sale to go with the Second Friday Art Walk, and then all day Saturday, and then the following weekend, we're doing a quilt exhibition at the library on the 16th and 17th, and they're going to have some, like, hands-on demonstrations and maybe, like, a quilting bee, and kids can do a little quilting. So I wanted to put a teaser out there. Perhaps next week our books could be about quilts, which means we'd have to read some books about quilts.
We would have to do that, yeah.
But it's really, and the quilters are fabulous. These ladies are amazing. Perhaps I'll bring them with me on the show.
That would actually be super
quilters
fun.
Quilters are awesome.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
awesome. So.
I'm trying to, while we're having this conversation, I'm looking up and trying to find why it's March 16th, because there's always a reason why National Quilting Day is like on X day. And I'm having difficulty. It's the third Saturday in March every year. And I don't see why it's been singled out as that, but there's got to be a reason for it. I'll keep looking for it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I was going to say, perhaps the quilters will know when I bring them on the show.
They probably will. Yeah. Speaking with Susan Brown, talking books from the Chapel Hill Public Library. So let's talk books.
Let's do that.
March Madness coming up.
Yes.
We've got a couple of pretty big basketball games that just happened last night.
Indeed.
Carolina
My Hokies.
Won.
Oh,
Virginia
sorry.
Tech
you want to
won.
Talk about Carolina?
Well, Carolina won. Virginia Tech won. Duke lost. It was a good day, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we thought that our prompt could be the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
There you go. All right. What
Take
you got?
That, Duke. I mean, what? okay. So books about victory and defeat. Mm. Here we go. I thought, okay, let's think of a good book about victory that's not about basketball, because that's so obvious.
All right.
But it's a winter sport, so I thought of a really great book. This is probably, 10 years old or more. It's called The Boys of Winter, The Untold Story of a Coach, a Dream, and the 1980 U.S. Olympic Hockey Team.
Awesome.
So,
okay.
You know, many people know the story or think they know it, and they've seen the movie. What was the movie
Miracle.
Called?
Miracle.
Miracle,
yeah.
Yes. And this is really an inside look at it with a really fresh eye. So what you forget about it is like that hockey team, like they were amateurs. That's when the Olympics was still for amateurs. Mm-hmm. And just the whole chemistry of the team and the coach and all of it. It is such a good book. So if you like, you know, things like Friday Night Lights or any of those things, this is a really great book about another key victory in a winter sport. And the book is called The Boys of Winter, The Untold Story of a Coach, a Dream, and the 1980 U.S. Olympic Hockey Team.
All right.
So good.
I'll stay with sports and go to summer, and we're going to talk fiction for children's literature here. I think I've mentioned Matt Christopher on the air before. Great sports, great writer of sports books for kids. And my personal favorite, which I've mentioned, is The Year Mom Won the Pennant, which is a kids' baseball team, and they don't have a coach, so the main character's mom takes over as the coach and just turns out to be this amazing baseball coach, and the team just comes together. And I'm pretty sure there's a spoiler alert in the title of the book as to what happens in the end.
She better win it.
She better win the pennant after the start of the book. But that's a great book. The other Matt Christopher book that I really liked when I was growing up that I don't know if I've mentioned on the air is one called The Kid Who Only Hit Homers, it's a kind of rookie of the year kind of story about just all of a sudden this kid just something clicks in him and he is just able to hit nothing but home runs every single time he comes to the plate. I can't actually remember how that one ends. All I remember is that towards the end of the book, he loses the skill and all of a sudden he can't hit home runs every single time anymore. And now the team has to overcome that adversity in order to win. Or lose, but learn something in the losing.
I can't remember exactly, one or the other.
It's a lot of great sports movies where the team like makes it all the way to the finals and then finishes second. A lot of movies are like that, and a lot of books too. And I don't know which version of the story this is, but that's a good one as well.
And those are also great titles.
Yeah,
The Boy Who Could Only Hit Homers.
The Boy Who
Could
Only Hit Homers.
The Mom Won the Pennant.
Yeah,
love it.
That's great.
Okay, so enough of sports, mm-hmm. at least for my book.
No, I'm done with sports too.
Okay, so I was thinking about winning and other things you win and the thrill of victory. Well, this isn't really victory. This is just winning. I mean, victory sounds like you have like struggled and achieved something. So anyways, I was thinking about winning and thinking about fiction. And this is a book that's hard to talk about, but I love it so much. Carl Hiaasen wrote a book. So he's written many books. He's mm-hmm. a Florida, you know, he's a prize-winning journalist, and he writes these just hilarious, satirical parody send-ups of life in Florida and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got like a gazillion in four books, but I want to recommend probably my favorite one of them. And he also writes books for kids now. My sons read his middle grade readers. I want to recommend a book called Lucky You. And so it's set in Florida, of course, and it's the story of, her name is Jolaine Lux, of course it is.
Of course.
And what she does is she wins the lottery. So that's her winning. She's mm-hmm. one of, so she always plays Powerball numbers based on like the date that she dumped a past lover or that she was jilted or something. And finally, one of her, you know, terrible love stories pays off, but she's one of two winners of the lottery. So the story unfolds for there, and where it's kind of hard to talk about right now in the moment that we're in is it's a send-up of so many cultural things, but the story unfolds where the other winners of the ticket are a couple of, like, hapless, feckless, lackluster, dumb
right.
as a box of rocks, white supremacists from the backwoods of the Florida swamps.
Yeah.
And Jolaine is an African-American woman.
Uh-huh.
So they set out to get the ticket back from her, and hilarity and parody ensues.
Mm.
It's a very funny book, as all of his are, and it's a parody of so many things, and I think that it resonates now, and it's very, very funny.
Am I correct in wanting John Waters to make this into a movie?
Yes, please. Yes, that
just
would be
the description, right?
It's really funny.
Yeah.
It is, I would say, my favorite Carl Hiaasen book.
I'm going to have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's great.
Lucky You. All right, done. My next one is political. I thought about political victory, or in this case, political defeat. I think I've mentioned this one before, but Rick Perlstein's Before the Storm, which is his book about the Goldwater campaign in 1964, which ended in the most spectacular landslide defeat in a generation and one of the biggest landslide losses in the history of American presidential campaigning, but also kind of paved the way for the modern conservative movement that developed after that. But this is just a really comprehensive history of that campaign, which launches in 1960 and goes to 1964 and ends in spectacular failure, or so we thought at the time. But then there's an epilogue after that that runs until the present day, basically. But it's a fascinating book, and it's funny, and it's engaging, and you'll learn things that you thought you knew but clearly didn't, or at least I did. And yeah, really.
And tell
book.
Me the title again.
Before the Storm.
Before the Storm.
Which, by the way, I learned today that if you look up the title Before the Storm to find out who the author is, you get a really popular book about World of Warcraft, and then you have to dig a lot deeper into Google to find the book that you're looking
right?
for. Yeah.
What's that? It's that poster, that thing you always see. Google can bring you back 10,000 answers, but a librarian can bring you back the right one.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I probably would have Googled the thing. I'm just saying.
It only took a minute.
Okay, I've got one more. Mm-hmm. Also fiction, also funny. And it's weird because I don't usually read a lot of like funny, humorous books. You know, I like the dark and the horror and the strange.
Yes.
But I've got two books today. So this one is about losing.
Okay.
Okay? So my first two were about winning. And I want to recommend a fairly recent book called The Wangs Versus the World. And it's by Jade Chang. This is her debut novel, and it's very, very funny. So this is about a very wealthy Chinese immigrant family. You know, they came to the U.S. and they up by the bootstraps and everything, and the father built a cosmetics empire, right? Mm-hmm. So he came here, and that's what he did. And in the financial crisis of the late 2000s, he loses it all. So the family's all fractured and everything, and he's going to try and go back to China and sort of reclaim, you know, and get things going again. But before that, the whole family goes on a road trip, okay? They decide to get everybody together,
yes.
and they're going to take a cross-country road trip from Bel Air, where their home has been foreclosed, to New York, where I think one of the family lives or something.
Okay.
So they set off across the country, and they were barely keeping it together when they had money. And now that they've lost all the money and they're shoved together in a car, everything falls apart in a hilarious way. And what I love about the book is there's a really interesting style choice that the author makes, because when the characters are speaking, they're talking in their native tongue. So the second and third generation kids in the book, it's in English. But when the grandmother speaks, it's written in like Chinese characters. And it's a really interesting just narrative choice to kind of think about this book. And it's so, so good. If you like Crazy Rich Asians,
right.
if you like any of those types of things, Wangs Versus the World by Jade Chang is fabulous and really, really funny.
Awesome. And that is Talking Books for this week. Again, tomorrow, 5 p.m. On West Franklin Street at West End Wine Bar, the former Colonial Drug event, remembering the Chapel Hill 9, beginning at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And then National Quilting Day is March 16th, so mark your calendars for that. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.